Yo, what's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Radio Show. My name is Tariq Nasheed, broadcasting live right now from Los Angeles. Glad to have everybody tuning in worldwide. And I'm ready to chop up some very good game on today's show, family. The phone number is 818-850-5404. That is the number to call up. Call me up. Let me know what's on your mind. And be thorough when you call up. Again, 818-850-5404. What I'm going to do, family, I'm going to take that real quick commercial break. And I mean, it's going to be real quick. And we'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. Go to UndeniableGame.com and get my free audio program, Undeniable Game, which teaches you 7 easy-to-follow tips on how to really attract beautiful women. The Undeniable Game audio program is absolutely free to download, so you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Master the game and get your free copy at UndeniableGame.com. That's UndeniableGame.com.
What's up, family? You need to check out the brand-new website called AshKicking.com. Now, that is a black-owned business that sells fragrance products. It has unique incense burners, scented candles, incense sticks, and health and beauty products. They have body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, the whole nine yards. It's 2017. There is no reason for any of y'all to be crispy and ashy out here in these streets. Go to AshKicking.com. That's AshKicking.com. Check out this website, PreK2PhDTravel.com. Now, this website provides a perfect summer Spanish language immersion program for people who are seeking an innovative alternative to traditional vacations. On this program, the guests can develop their conversational Spanish skills and have a great, rich cultural experience in one of the most beautiful, breathtaking areas of the Spanish-speaking world, Costa Rica. And I've been to Costa Rica before. Beautiful country. They have a lot of African artifacts there, and you will love it. But anyway, check out PreK2, that's the number 2, PhDTravel.com, and hook up with this program right now. PreK2PhDTravel.com. We're in this together!
Black people are being ethnically cleansed in America, and you're next. The creator of the acclaimed documentary 7AM is back with an explosive new film, Gentrified, Ethnic Cleansing American Style. The American Holocaust won't have gas chambers and ovens. In the 21st century, making it too expensive for you to afford to live is the most humane form of genocide the world has ever witnessed. Go to our website, youwillbemoved.org. That's youwillbemoved.org.
Yo, we're in Black History Month right now, so you need to celebrate it the right way by going to royallymelanated.com. This site is having a month-long sale, and some of the books are almost 50% off. The site has made a wide variety of entertaining and educational books, and the publishing company continues to grow by adding 3 new titles, which includes the limited edition reissue of Position of Power, the sci-fi thriller Dreamer's Edge, and for those of you who are cupcaking this Valentine's Day, the book Can I Sell You a Dream will suit you well. Also, be sure to check out the best-selling Super Series and the controversial historical tale called A Birthday Surprise for George Washington. Visit royallymelanated.com to purchase your copies today. Check out this brand new shoe line called Negast Footwear. Now, Negast Footwear is the first black-owned footwear company that caters to our culture. They have some real fly kicks, and you need to cop you a pair right now. You spell the name Negast, N-E-G-A-S-T, and you can get these fly kicks at www.sneakerscustom.com. That's sneakerscustom.com.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battle fight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Put some respect on my name.
Yo, we are back, family. We are back. We are back. We are back right here on the Tariq Radio Show. How's everybody doing, family? We are here ready to chop up some good game. And I hope everybody has their Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4 DVDs. If you don't have them, you need to be at HiddenColorsFilm.com because it is Black History Month and you need Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4. That's HiddenColorsFilm.com. HiddenColorsFilm.com. And also, don't forget, we got those posters for the forthcoming movie, 1804. I have autographed posters. We've been sending out a lot since last week. We're getting them out. Most of you should have your posters already. We've sold hundreds of them so far in the last week. And we were working, me and the assistant, we were at the office getting it in. So you should have, most of you should have your posters already. We try to get them out fast so we don't get backed up. But again, you guys can go. If you want an autographed poster from the forthcoming movie that we're in production with now, 1804, The Hidden History of Haiti, go to 1804movie.com, ladies and gentlemen. Now, again, the phone number is 818-850-5404. That's the number to call up. A lot of good stuff I want to chop up on tonight's show. Now, today's topic, I'm talking about the battle of the sexes between the white supremacists. The white supremacists are having themselves a little battle of the sexes right now. We got to understand the game and the dynamic around that. You know, earlier today, and it's Black History Month still, but Susan B. Anthony, she's a well-noted, quote-unquote, white feminist. And today was her birthday. And on Twitter, a lot of people were giving birthday shout-outs and celebrations to Susan B. Anthony. Then I started tweeting some truth about Susan B. Anthony. I started tweeting some of her quotes. And a lot of other people started to retweet the quotes that I was saying about Susan B. Anthony. But Susan B. Anthony was a white supremacist, based on her own words, based on her own ideology. And the thing is, all of the white people who were posting up celebrations of Susan B. Anthony, most white people, and definitely the white supremacists, they know about Susan B. Anthony's racial views. They knew about this woman's racist past. They knew about it. So it's not that I'm giving information they don't know. See, the thing is, in the dominant society, the white supremacists, they like to give other white supremacists a pass. That's how the game works. And you know the old saying, white supremacists, they never get fired, they get transferred. White supremacists never really get reprimanded. Their white supremacist views are just merely swept under the rug. Like, what's his name? Mel Gibson, for example. Mel Gibson, white supremacist actor and director, and he's a blatant white supremacist because he said a lot of disparaging stuff, not only about black people, but other groups, Jewish people, all that stuff. But again, I'm letting everybody hold their own nuts. I'm just focusing on what he said about black people. And when he was going through a divorce with his wife, you know, there was an infamous tape of him yelling at her. She was recording what was going on because she knew how racist he was. His chick knew how racist he was, so she wanted to catch him in the act. That's why she was recording him. And he was like, "I hope you get raped by a pack of niggers." Oh, Mel Gibson was talking crazy as cat shit. Now, they transferred him for a little while, but now they're talking about having him direct another major movie in Hollywood. I think Suicide Squad 2. They're talking about having him direct that. So we got to understand how the game goes with the white supremacist male and the white supremacist female. The white supremacist female, they know what the game is. They know that their mates have white supremacist views, and they're perfectly fine to go along with it until some of the white supremacist females don't feel like they're getting enough resources. So they'll use the white supremacist male's racial views against him temporarily. Just want y'all to understand the game. Temporarily, understand, temporarily. Y'all remember when that white supremacist Anthony Cumia, I think you pronounce it Cumia, but he trolls me all the time on Twitter, by the way. Now, Anthony Cumia, he's a white supremacist who was on the Opie and Anthony show that was on Sirius Satellite, and he got fired because he was so goddamn racist. He went on a racial tirade online about black people, and he got so racist that they had to fire him from that station. So now he's gone full white supremacist. He understands that there's a whole Social Security system out there for open white supremacists, so they can be white supremacists, get fired, and just get transferred to the online alt-right crowd, which is a big major crowd, by the way. But there was a situation where Anthony Cumia, he was getting into it with some chick, his girlfriend or whatever, and she was videotaping him talking about, look at him, he's abusive, he beat me, he's a racist. See, they like to point out a motherfucker's racism when the shit has hit the fan for them. See, the white supremacist female is perfectly fine with the racism as long as the racism is over there. As long as they keep the racism over there and they get them a little couple of benefits from the racism, they get them a couple of perks from the racism, and then they like to point the racist finger saying, hey, that person's racist, he says openly racist stuff, and they'll use that as leverage. See, that's the battle of the white supremacist sexist, and we got to stop falling for that. Because, see, the thing is with the white supremacists, they're supposed to be on code. They're supposed to be on code with their white supremacist views, and sometimes the white supremacists go off code. See, we're in a refined stage of white supremacy where you're supposed to practice white supremacy but act like you're not. There are some who break the code, and they'll get reprimanded temporarily for breaking that code. And again, they have a battle of the sexes. And the thing is, we have to understand that's basically what white feminism was. Speaking of Susan B. Anthony, see, that's what I'm tying in. See, with the white feminists like Susan B. Anthony and all of the others, Elizabeth Canton, all of them, most of those early first wave white feminists, and I've done several interviews about this before, many of them were blatant white supremacists. I mean, this is their own words. I mean, they actually, many of them, used the words white supremacy. And their whole mission wasn't about equality in the workplace and all that bullshit. No, that's what a lot of sisters fall for, where they were fighting for equality in the workplace. Nah, that's not really what it is. Truth be told, a lot of these white women out here who are quote unquote feminists, they don't want to get up and work every fucking morning and go clock in, clock out. No. That's not what they really want. Because see, a lot of white women know, hell, instead of getting up clocking in, clocking out every day, just marry the guy who owns the fucking company. If I got it like that, you know, I'm trying to get my foot in early. I'm trying to be a stay-at-home soccer mom and have the dude do all the work. But the thing is, I want equal money and an equal equity being a homemaker. See, that's the thing. I'm not saying there's not white women who want careers and all that stuff. Sure there are. But at the end of the day, white women ain't trying to be old and working. Where do you see old white women working unless they're on the pipe? Let's be honest. You don't see old white women working nowhere unless she's on the fucking pipe. You'll see, you know, somebody at Walmart or something like that. But you don't see old white women, especially middle-class white women, working anywhere like that. You know, they want to post up in the crib and have somebody else do that. Truth be told. And just be very honest, where have you seen a lot of white women working? Just in your everyday life, where have you gone and seen a bunch of white women working there? Now, you might see some young teenage white women working in the mall until they catch them a good trick or a sugar daddy or some shit. If she's fine enough. Let me preface that. If she's fine enough, there's some busted ass Marge Simpson looking white women who can't catch like that. But hell, even them, if they ain't really up to par, if they're average, they can still get one of y'all niggas who play for the NBA or NFL to snatch them on up. No shade. But that whole feminist movement, it was all about getting equal resources as the white supremacist male. Wasn't about equality for women at all. It was about maintaining white supremacy, and it was their words. They said this. It was all about maintaining white supremacy. Because their whole platform was basically, hey, don't treat us white women like you treat the niggas. That was their whole platform. Don't treat us like you treat those niggers over there. You're supposed to be treating us better than that. And somebody said that they work as teachers. Okay, that's true. You see them working as teachers, right? But the thing is, their whole platform was don't treat us as bad as you treat the Negroes. That's not what we want. You got to give us special privileges and special treatment that you don't give the Negro. And the whole feminist movement, they ran on the platform where black men were about to be able to vote back in the late 1800s. When black men were about to so-called get the right to vote, which they got the right, but they didn't get the opportunity to vote because a lot of black men were targeted and harmed when they went to try to vote. Their whole platform was, hey, wait a minute. Don't let these Negro men vote before us. What are you doing? We're white. We're supposed to be white first. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. The white feminist movement has always been white women first. And white first, period. It has always been white first. It was never a gender thing. It was never about gender. That's why when there were black women who they were trying to use to prop up, they were doing with black women what they do with black people now. They'll use black people as photo ops. They'll say, hey, look, this black person is oppressed, and oppressing this black person, that's like oppressing me. And oppression is bad, so give me some money and support my cause. That's basically their platform. That was their whole platform. And a lot of people, some people were hitting me up online talking about these early white feminists, talking about how they were abolitionists. Because some of them were in the abolitionist movement, then they switched over into women's rights issues. So people will try to say, well, Susan B. Anthony and the early white feminists, they could not have been racist because they were trying to help black people in slavery. They were abolitionists. And I want black people to understand that hustle. Don't fall for that bullshit. I want black people to understand, do not fall for that con game. That is a con game. That is a major con game. See, the abolitionist movement back then, it's just like that whole Sally Struthers, feed the children, let's save Haiti movement that we have now. It's the same hustle. They've been doing this same hustle for 300-400 fucking years almost. Basically, what they would do, the white supremacists in the North, because slavery wasn't having a plantation system wasn't as profitable as it was in the North as it was in the South, even though the North did profit from the merchandise from slavery and all the other industries that were born out of slavery. They completely profited from it. But the thing is, the white abolitionists in the North, basically they said, okay, hey, look at these black slaves down there. Look at how bad they're treated. We got to do something to help them. Send me some money so we can do the right thing. So that was the hustle. They were making money and getting their props up by holding up poor, disenfranchised black people and saying, hey, send us the money so we can help them. Which they really, you know, didn't. They didn't end slavery. The abolitionist movement didn't end slavery. Then slavery, well, antebellum slavery, where you have to work on a plantation, you know, that was something that was a strategy used to stop the Union from being broken up. And we break that down in the movie Hidden Colors 1. Everybody should get Hidden Colors 1 because we really break that down in that movie, the real reason slavery was so-called ended, which it wasn't ended, by Abraham Lincoln. See, we're always told we got to give props to Abraham Lincoln, who himself was a white supremacist. But the thing is, they were propping up black folks saying, hey, look at these poor Negroes. And there were pictures that they would show of slavery. They would show pictures of black people with their backs beaten, and that would circulate around the North, and people would get money from that. Same thing that they do now. They'll go down to Haiti and say, hey, look at this little Haitian boy. He's suffering. Send me some money so I can help this suffering Haitian child who lost his parents in the earthquake. And then everybody sends in money and the Haitians don't get nothing. Same thing in Africa. They do the same con game. Same con game. Hey, look at these Africans over here in Darfur, over here in Somalia and Ethiopia. Look at him. His stomach is big. His teeth are rotten. He's hungry. There's flies all over him. Send me some money so I can help this kid. You send the money and the kid don't get shit. Same thing. And that was the abolitionist hustle back then. Susan B. Anthony could give less than a damn about helping anybody in slavery or black people, period. Because the minute they felt, her and the other white feminists, so-called feminists, they felt that the white male wasn't sharing the ill-gotten resources accumulated from the free African labor, they said, uh-oh, no, you're treating us like niggas. And it's okay to treat niggas like niggas, but don't treat us like niggas. We're your women. So the feminist movement was a white women's movement. That was a civil war, battle of the sexes between the white supremacist male and the white supremacist female. And look at the workings of early black freedom fighters at that time, like Frederick Douglass. He knew how racist these white supremacist feminists were. He knew. That's why he stopped fucking with them. And Ida B. Wells knew too. That's why I hate when they try to claim Ida B. Wells as some type of feminist. Ida B. Wells did not like those women. They tried to play her. They tried to play her to the left, and she told them to kick rocks. I'm not about to be your flunky. If y'all are not going to address all the racism that's happening and y'all going to practice racism, I'm not rocking with you. I'm not coming to your marches and y'all going to make us march in the back and all that stupid shit. Ida B. Wells wasn't with the fuckery at all. And that's what they tried to do to sisters. They would have the sisters try to march in the back after they used them as photo ops. And nah. So this wasn't about a woman's movement. This was a white woman's civil war between the white male over who's going to maintain the niggers. Because again, like Susan B. Anthony, she could care less about slavery because once they start implementing the, I think it was the 15th Amendment, that's what she was staunchly against, giving the black men the right to vote. I mean, she went on a tirade. See, the thing is, I've always said the white supremacists, they love Negroes that they gotta help. So you got to watch that. You got to watch the white supremacists who are always doing the whole Tarzan thing. I'm going to help the lowly savage Negroes. Because when black people see that, you say, okay, oh, that person is cool in the gang. They're helping out poor black folks. But the thing is, those same people, they have no problem with a poor black person. But let there be a black person on equal footing. Let them be in a situation where they're equal to a black person. All of a sudden, you'll see the real white supremacist views come out. Because again, with Susan B. Anthony, she was supposed to be a damn abolitionist and all this, but when they start talking about letting black men get the right to vote before white women, she was like, oh, hell no, these niggas before me? No. You're going to put us behind the nigger? How dare you, white man? No. I don't mind helping these niggas when they're below me, but then you're going to put me behind them? Oh, that's just unfathomable. How dare you do that? That's why when she started her newspaper, Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Canton, I think that was her partner, but they were funded. Their whole newspaper, I think it was called The Revolutionist, something like that, but their newspaper was funded by an open white supremacist, George Francis Train. Now, George Francis Train was pro-slavery. So how are you an abolitionist? And now you working with somebody who's pro-slavery, a pro-slavery white supremacist. That's your partner now. So that just shows they weren't really about helping black folks. That was a hustle all along. Somebody in the room said Hillary Clinton said Susan B. Anthony was her hero. Exactly. That's why I don't fuck with Hillary. That's why I do not rock with Hillary. That's absolutely true. She did say that. And that's why I do not rock with Hillary. But the thing is, the white supremacists, they are perfectly fine when black people are below them. When black people are beneath them, they're cool. Do you need help, little Negro? I feel so good about myself. I fed a little disenfranchised Negro. I bought him some Popeye's chicken. He was so happy. You should have saw his little face light up. You know, shit like that. They like dealing with Negroes on that level. And somebody's talking about Margaret Sanger. Yeah, all of those early white feminists. Margaret Sanger, she was not only just a white supremacist, she was a eugenicist. She wanted to sterilize black women and kill off black folks. I mean, the shit is real deep with them. But again, the white supremacists, they like dealing with us when we are on an unequal plane with them, where they're in a situation where they're above us. When they're able to throw crumbs down at us, they're perfectly fine. They love surrounding themselves around Negroes like that. The white supremacists love surrounding themselves around poor, disenfranchised Negroes that they can flick crumbs to. But I'm not racist. Look at all my poor little Negro ghetto friends. I'm not racist at all. See, I don't judge a person's ability to be racist or not racist based on all the broke Negroes they can hang around. I judge them on how they deal with black people who are on equal footing, who's not cooning. Because that's another thing. If there's a black people who, there's a black person who's in a situation of financial equality, is that black person a coon or not? Because the thing is, they'll be cool with a black person who's doing well as long as that black person is, well, you know, what about black on black crime? We got to get that body count down in Chicago now. You know, that type of nigga. So that's how you can judge and see if a person you know is a white supremacist or a white supremacist suspect. If they're only dealing with poor Negroes or if they're dealing with Negroes who are on the coon train. Because rarely do I see the suspected white supremacist deal with a black person who's simply not a coon, who ain't broke and starving and begging. If you're not a broke, starving, begging Negro, and you ain't cooning and bug dancing, a lot of these people don't really want to fuck with you. Let's go back to your job. Like at your job, for example, and I think Brother Neely Fuller pointed this out, if there's a black person, let's say, for example, if you're a black person working on a job and you have a bunch of people in the dominant society on that job, and if you're the black dude who works at the shoe shine stand on the first floor in the lobby, I want you, if you have a job, if you have a big corporation that you work with, I want you to notice how the shoe shine black person or the janitor is treated. The shoe shine black person and the custodian and the janitor, you notice the white people on the job are very, very friendly with that person. I see this a lot when I go to New York, because in New York you have, you know, I do a lot of radio there, and you have these big corporate buildings, and, you know, there's a lobby and there's a lot of people in the lobby, and you have different floors. So I get to see it firsthand. But whenever I'm in New York, you'll see the security guard in the front or the janitor, you know, the $1 above minimum wage black person working somewhere in the lobby. And the white people are extremely friendly with those people. The white people are very, very friendly with the security guard or the shoeshine guy or the janitor. Hi, Amos, how are you? Did you see the game? Did you see the Super Bowl? It was fucking great. It sure was. Hey, you know, I brought you some of those biscuits you like, Amos. Hey, thank you so much, sir. They be laughing it up with Amos the security guard or Amos the janitor. They laugh it up, they yuck it up with the person working in the front on the first floor as a janitor or a security guard, somebody on that level. But I notice upstairs it's a little bit different, because I've seen black executives who have their shit together, who kind of work their way up the ladder, or not just executives, but just, you know, black folks who kind of work their way up into certain positions, and you don't see all that skinning and grinning and laughing like that. You don't see all that cock-a-keying and all that yucking it up. And black folks, that's your job. You know how it is. If you get a certain position over somebody white at your job, you'll notice sometimes there's animosity. And almost everything you do will be scrutinized. All of a sudden, you notice not only is everybody not as friendly, if you get a certain position over some white people at your job, not only will everybody not be as friendly, all of a sudden, every little thing you do will be nitpicked on. Everything will be on some nitpicking shit. You get calls from H&R. They're like, hey, you, hey, Juanita, you came to work today. We see that you haven't been coming to work on time all week. Like, what do you mean? I've been to work every day on time. Well, you know, you're supposed to come in at 8, and you came in at 8:02. I mean, just little shit like that. I mean, just it gets like that. Then they start with the nitpicking. Oh, they be spying on you. They be looking. Hey, Darnell, we had an internal investigation, and we see that you were ordering soul food from your private email account, and you know that's against, you know, company policy. You know, little goofy fucking shit like that where they're spying on you. You're like, oh damn, you know, I just sent an email and you know it was lunchtime. Well, you know, look, we're gonna give you the contract and let you read over the contract with the job, and right here in Article 7, you're not supposed to send personal emails through the email server here. Oh, they get to nitpicking on your ass, man, with stupid shit. Especially with sisters. Then they start with the slick shit. Can I feel your fro? I love your hair. Can I feel it? They start trying to push your buttons and then come to work saying little slick shit. Hey, Shirlel, how are you? I was watching the news today, and I saw some riots going on out here. And, you know, what's with Black Lives Matter? You know, all lives matter, right? You know, it's they're trying to push your buttons because they know what to say to get black folks riled up. They know that they're saying something slick. Understand, the white supremacists are not naive. It's not like they're naively saying some shit they don't know what they're saying. They know that they're trying to push your buttons. They know that they're trying to push your buttons. They know exactly what they're saying. They know it's offensive, but they try to bait you into doing something so they can go run to human resources and tell on your ass. They want you to go off on them. And let me tell you, they say something slick and act like they're dumb and innocent. And the minute you go off, they run down the human resources on your ass. Like they're coming to work. Hey, Lamont, how are you, bro? Hey, man, can you teach me how to dab? I'm going to a party, man. I don't know how to fucking dab, dude. Can you teach me how to dab? And you say, hey, dude, I'm not into that. I'm not into all that dancing. I'm not no dance instructor, man. I got to go to work, man. I don't really have time today. That same dude would go down to human resources on your ass. You know, Darnell had an attitude with me today. And, you know, I asked him a simple question. I don't know what was, I came in. I thought we were bros. And I came in and he was aggressive. They'll start using their little white supremacist code words. He was kind of aggressive and, you know, he looked at me violently. I don't know. I got afraid. And I think there was a Black Lives Matter t-shirt under his blazer. I couldn't see it, but I think it said Black Lives Matter. And I just don't know. So they have a problem when you're on their level. But they'll go downstairs and shuck and jive with the shoeshine guy and the security guard. So don't be fooled by a suspected white supremacist all in your face, skinning and grinning. Because again, they play this game and they like to hang around you when you're beneath them. And that was the whole white feminist hustle. And that's what a lot of people get fooled by. See, the white supremacist female is just as vicious as the white supremacist male. They just have civil wars temporarily to vie for power. That's why when I was talking about that white girl, that 13-year-old catch me outside girl, I think her name is Danielle or whatever her name is. I'm so just bored with her because I've been warning people about those white females who talk all that Ebonic shit. Catch me outside, how about that? All that stupid shit. I told you, women like that are nothing but snitches. Because again, that's them rebelling against white society because they felt like white society doesn't give them enough. White society has slighted them. They're being rebellious against white society. So they say, if you're going to treat me like a nigga, because that's how people in the dominant society feel when they are not getting their way, they compare themselves to being treated like us. That's why a lot of white feminists, they would march around saying, women are the niggers of the world. Women are the niggers of the world. That was their whole thing. And there was a reporter recently. Did y'all hear this story? Somebody in the chat room helped me out. It was a reporter who said, us being called fake news, us in the media. He said, because, see, Trump's cabinet, every time you point out Trump's people's lies, they'll just say fake news. But, hey, Trump and these guys are doing some stuff with Russia. Oh, that's fake news. That's their whole thing. That's their whole cop-out, calling everybody fake news. So this one guy said, hey, Trump's people calling us fake news, that's like calling a black person the N-word. And people were like, oh, wait a fucking minute. What are you talking about? That ain't the damn same. That ain't the same at all. People always try to find this comparative disparaging treatment for other groups, trying to compare it to us. Just like little people, they have this thing, you know, little short people, dwarves or whatever. They say that the word midget is like calling somebody a nigga. They've said that. I've heard that before. That's bullshit. Nobody ever hung midgets and Jim Crowed midgets and mass incarcerated midgets or dwarfs or nobody like that. What's his name? Somebody in the chat room. His name, is it Chris Cuomo? Is that his name in the chat room? Chris Cuomo? Cuomo? Who said that? But the thing is, back to that Catch Me Outside girl, women like that, they rebel against white society. And they feel like if I'm not getting what I'm supposed to get in white society, you're treating me like a nigga. So what they'll do, they have like little temper tantrums. They say, well, I'm gonna act like a nigga if you treat me like one. So you'll get these suburban white girls who will mimic the absolute bottom of the barrel of black society. See, you notice when they quote unquote act black, because that's what they say they do. They call them wiggers and all that, acting black. It's always the bottom of the barrel of what blackness is supposed to be, because they know that's what white supremacist society despise and prop up the most. White supremacist society, they look at all black people as poverty stricken, in the ghetto, gold teeth, crazy hairstyles, talking broken English. And these white supremacist female suspects, they know that that's very much despised in white society. So that's why these white chicks will go around, how about that? Catch me outside. How about that? And, you know, then they change the accent up at will. But they're like, if I'm going to be treated like a nigga, I'm going to act like a nigga temporarily until I get what I want. Because they grow out of that stage very quickly. They grow out of it. And then get the benefits of white supremacist society. But the thing is, they understand that white society, white supremacist society, they despise so-called black culture. Black culture hating, or nigga hating, because that's what they look at us as. That's a very important pastime in white supremacist culture. The ability to despise black society. The ability to see black people suffer collectively. Black folks, for some reason, don't fathom how important that is to white supremacist society. That's the most important thing in their lives, to see how much black people can suffer collectively. That's why if you look online, all of these white supremacists do day in and day out is whine about black people nonstop. If you go to these white supremacist chat rooms or Yahoo or YouTube, you go to almost any message board or social media site where there's a lot of people in the dominant society, basically the comment section will be anti-black rhetoric. The websites like Reddit, 4chan, all of them where there's a lot of people talking, Facebook especially, it's really nonstop anti-black rhetoric. Literally nonstop. Literally nonstop. And the thing is, that gives the white supremacists their identity. Nigga hating is important. They will sacrifice everything to see the Negro suffer. That's why all of these people propped up Trump. And that's why the house is burning right now. With Donald Trump, it's so much fuckery going on. Donald Trump has not been in office for a month. There's been people resigning back and forth. There's scandals all over the place. Riots, protests all over the world because of damn Trump. Investigations going on. They're talking about impeachment. There's no way he's going to last for 4 years. No way. It's just no way Trump is going to last in office for 4 years. It ain't even been four fucking weeks. And the house is burning right now. It ain't been 4 weeks. Literally, it has not even been 4 weeks yet. And they're already talking about impeachment, and there's investigations, and there's ties with Russia, and there's a Russian ship that's been, missiles and shit being deployed, and it's crazy right now. It's crazy as cat shit right now. And all of these white supremacists out here propped up Trump, knowing that the fuckery was going to go down, but Trump talked their language. He talked some nigger hate language. He galvanized the alt-right and all the white supremacists. They're like, that's good enough for us. He's lying to us. That's fine. We'll take the lies. He lied about Obama. We'll take that. He's violating the Constitution. We'll take that. He said he'll grab women's pussy. We'll take that too. These are white women doing this too, by the way. You see that? They talk all that gender equality and all this and misogyny and all this, but they, most of the white women voters voted for Trump, by the way. They're trying to get their place in the system of white supremacy. But the thing is, they didn't care because Trump was talking about maintaining white supremacy. He was using a lot of coded language, a lot of dog whistle language. That's why shit is going down in Chicago. I have to reiterate that over and over again. Shit is going to go down in Chicago. And I just saw there was something where somebody FaceTimed a kid who got shot. So I'm seeing this a lot. Now, a lot of children are being shot out there in Chicago, which is another thing that's hella suspicious. And that's going to further justify them coming in and not only harming mass number of black people in Chicago, but that's just going to be the set it off city. They're going to start doing it to all other cities because Chicago is nothing but a metaphor for black society in general. To the white supremacists, their narrative is that all of black society is Chicago. So they're going to go into Chicago first. They're planning it. They're getting it plotted out now because right now the white supremacists are going around rounding up Mexicans right now and so-called illegal aliens. Right out here in California at in Oakland today, somebody sent me a link where they were going to like the Costco and the Home Depot, rounding up random people, those ICE agents. So they're getting it ready. They're practicing. They're practicing for that grand finale, a mass harming of black people. See, they got to really prepare for that because they haven't done that on a grand scale, a nationwide mass harming of black people. They're trying to figure out how they're going to get around the Constitution and what they're going to do. They're going to use crime because they've already passed this whole crime executive order that people keep overlooking. They slipped in some real tricky language that we have to understand. They said, we got to do something about the illegal immigrants, gang members, and criminals and drug dealers. And see, that's how they get you. Watch the language. Watch the dog whistle language. Because what do they associate with gang members? Black people. And a gang member is anybody they say is a gang member. Any black person can be labeled a gang member. That's the trick bag we don't understand. So when they start going into Chicago with federal troops rounding people up, all they're going to do is say that they were gang members. Just like when they were down in New Orleans during Katrina. They were killing black people down there left and right in Katrina. There were vigilante groups killing black people left and right down in Louisiana during Katrina. And all they had to do to justify it was say, hey, that person was a looter. So you could have been just a person like, shit, I'm trying to get to dry land and somebody go blow your brains out. Well, he was a looter. A looter is anybody I say is a looter. I'm white and I say so. So they saw what they can get away with down in New Orleans. There was a lot of black people who got killed in New Orleans, man, that folks don't talk about. They were hunting black folks, see? They'll wait on some type of disaster or some type of catastrophe to immediately go targeting black people. And they did that big time down in New Orleans. And they're very quiet about it. That's why black folks got to stop fucking around. And we got to see what's going on. And stop copping out and stop thinking that bedwinching your way and buck dancing your way to the top, that's going to save you. That's not going to save you. When I was talking about Susan B. Anthony today, there was this black Latina chick. What's her name? I'm going to give y'all her name. She's supposed to be some kind of actress, a struggling actress. Let me give y'all exactly what her name is. You know, she jumped into my mentions because I was talking about how racist Susan B. Anthony was. And, you know, she came with her cape talking about some misogyny this and misogyny that. Her name is Maya Contreras. Maya Contreras. She's supposed to be an actress or whatever in New York. And she hit me up talking about, well, Sojourner Truth had the same views as Susan B. Anthony. She, Sojourner Truth, felt like black men, if they got the right to vote, they would practice patriarchy against black women. It was that type of talk she was doing. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm pointing out Susan B. Anthony's white supremacist views, and this chick, this black Latina chick, is talking about some damn misogyny and all this old shit. And then she started talking about intersectionality. I said, uh-oh, when I saw that, whenever you see a black person talk about some intersectionality, whenever you're talking about white supremacy and a so-called, and she, this chick is supposed to be a black feminist, or feminist, because she don't, when I pointed out she was black, she was like, well, I'm black and Latina, so she's one of those. I said, oh, you just couldn't, blackness, God forbid that you just identify yourself as black. You had to throw the Latina in there. Well, my dad is black. My mama's Latina. Okay, she just looked like a light-skinned black chick, by the way. But she claims to be a feminist. She start talking that intersectionality shit every time I tried to point out Susan B. Anthony's white supremacist views. And whenever they go out of their way, a so-called black feminist, because she's still black, all that black Latina bullshit. Because if she knows she goes to a Latin country, they're going to put her black ass, her light-skinned black ass in the Negro section like they do in all the Spanish countries. But she started talking that intersectionality shit. I said, oh, let me research her. And sure enough, she had a white damn husband. This Maya Contreras has a lily white husband. So Negro bedwinch alert. It never fails. I mean, it never fails. The minute they start talking about, well, let's not talk about white supremacy. What about misogyny? And, you know, we got to be intersectional. That's bedwinch talk. That ain't nothing but code word bedwinch fucking talk. Yeah, they're trying to misquote Sojourner Truth with that feminist bullshit. So you watch that. You watch these Negro bed wenches who have made them a little comfortable cot on the bed under the white supremacist. That's all they've done. And they act as watchdogs for the damn white supremacists. You watch these Negroes. Because again, like I said, these white supremacists are having a civil war, and we got to let them have that civil war, and we got to take advantage of that. That's going to give us time to get our shit together. Just like that Klan member. There's the man from the KKK, and I talked about that on my live Ustream show, where he got killed. This guy was a big-time KKK leader out there in Missouri, and he got killed, and his wife and his stepson, they were arrested and charged for the murder. I love how the white supremacists are turning on each other. See, there's a civil war with these white supremacists. These white women who practice white supremacy, they feel like they're not getting enough. So she offed his ass for whatever reason, because I know they were getting a divorce. It was something. I didn't really get too deep into the particulars because I don't give a shit. I'm just celebrating that the ancestors got rid of another terrorist through another white supremacist. I love it. But these white supremacists are having a civil war. This is why I talked about in another show how these alt-right white supremacists, they are opting for Asian women and Eastern European women, because a lot of them, these hardcore white extremists, they see that the white woman is kind of unruly. The white woman in America, she's unpredictable. And they want them some loyal women on their side so they can procreate with. And they can do that with some Asian women. They'll have some hoppers. They don't mind a couple of hoppa children because they still kind of look white. The eyes are a little slanted, but they don't mind the hoppas. And they'll get those Eastern European white women. They don't mind she slung a little pussy back in the day. That's okay. They don't care. They don't care if she did a couple of magazine spreads with her pussy out, like Ivanka Trump. Like Melania Trump. I'm sorry. Like Melania. They don't mind that. But again, these white supremacists are turning on each other. And I love it. And that's why they're having a civil war. We're not included in that war, by the way. Because somebody said to me, they were like, hey, Tariq, why are you criticizing feminists? They're your allies. Because I was criticizing Susan B. Anthony. I said, dude, ally to who? The white feminist movement ain't never been an ally to us. If you don't get the fuck out of here with that, the white feminist movement has never been an ally for us. They just use us as photo ops. They're not an ally for us. They don't do shit for us. Or black women, period. But we have to understand that they're having a civil war, and we got to learn how to use divide and conquer tactics to our advantage so we can replace the system of white supremacy with a system of justice. And that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio Family. Don't forget, right now, while you're listening, go to 1804movie.com. Get the movie poster. The movie ain't, we ain't even done the movie yet. We're in pre-production for the movie. We're working on it now. But go to 1804movie.com, get the autographed movie poster today, and get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4 right now at HiddenColorsFilm.com. Get all the t-shirts at TariqElite.com. Everybody, y'all should be following me on Instagram. Everybody right now, go to Instagram. Follow me now at TariqElite. Let me spell that for you. So I want everybody in the chat room who's not following me to follow me now. TariqElite. Tariq Elite on Instagram. Because I got to start doing, I'm going to start doing more live videos on Instagram. I'm going to start doing that. And also, guys, you can subscribe to this show on iTunes so you get it downloaded automatically to your iPhone or your iPad or whatever. So you go to iTunes and type in the Tariq Elite radio show and you will get the show automatically. All right? I'm going to holler at you guys this Sunday on Ustream. You have a good one.